Just going to pray with Cheryl before she starts. Father, I thank you for this woman. I thank you for the words and the passion that she has. And I ask that you'll just speak through her now, that passion that you've given her, that vulnerability that you've given her, will just speak volumes. And I ask that you'll prepare our hearts to hear the truth from this woman, Lord. Carry her, hold her, give her the strength and the courage that she needs, Lord. Amen.
I think I've got to start by being really honest and say to you that I'm trying to learn that you don't always have to soar or roar. You don't always have to be a lion or an eagle. Or this is what God's saying to me, that actually it's all right to feel vulnerable, and that sometimes God uses us in that vulnerability to encourage us to take a step forward. And so I'm standing here, and I'll be really honest, I'm shaking because I'm really anxious about doing this. This is new for me to feel this way, but God's taking me on this journey. And to be honest, I was wondering whether I could even be here. And then last week I went for a walk with my brother, who I live on the same street as, but I've hardly seen all year. And we went for a walk, and we shared hearts a bit, and it seems that God's been speaking to us in a similar way. We didn't know this, but he has. And so we're kind of standing here together today, hoping that God can use us. This whole theme of letting go it's such a big deal. And I had a picture when I was talking to God about this message. I had a picture, I brought it with me, a visual thing to show you, which I asked Andy if he wouldn't be offended by the picture that God had given me. Just before I got on the plane back from Canada this time, I came across this in a shop. It's a broken bird. And some of you would have heard me harp on about the story of Broken Bird, who just felt like he could do nothing because he had a broken wing. And he eventually left because no one thought he was any good at anything. And he went off to the city and he found another broken bird. And the story is so worth getting, this story. At the end of this story, the two birds get together and they learn to fly. Well, I bought this bird, and then just a few days ago when I went to Kingswood to get Christmas trees with my children, guess what I found? Another bird with a broken wing. And so I said to Andy, I kind of felt like this is a picture of me and him. Here we are with our broken wings, trying to learn to fly in our vulnerability. So he wasn't offended by me sort of sharing that with you, but I just felt, you know, God speaks to me simply, and that was just like, yeah, two broken birds. But one of the things that really stuck with me from word from today, where it said, let it go. This is a while back, but I just want to read you a little bit of it. It says, Jesus, the great physician, never covers up an infected sore. He insists it be lanced, drained, cleansed, and given time to heal. Maybe you're wondering if someone with your past problems can be blessed and used by God. Absolutely. Whether it's guilt over something you've done or the pain of something that was done to you, let it go. Today, step into the river of God's grace and let it flow over you, setting you free. And I read that again this morning as a reminder of God's promise and how he can still use us, whatever we're going through. And Helen's talk last week for me was a final affirmation of the message God had put on my heart. For those of you who weren't here, she talked about anxiety, so I hope we're all anxiety-free now. I'm certainly not, but a great talk, Helen. Thanks. It just hasn't quite... I'm working on it. But at the end of that talk, she suggested that we need to try and let go. In fact, her exact words, I wrote them down, were, it's really hard to let go when you're anxious. And that's true, isn't it? I'm finding that right this moment. It's really, really difficult to let go. But that is the theme that God has put on my heart for a while now. So I guess it wasn't coincidental. And so I'm just standing here trusting that he'll use me in some way in my broken state this morning. And I want to read to you these verses from Hebrews, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles. And that involves looking at our lives, doesn't it? Looking at what's going on for us, looking at our core beliefs, looking at what's really in our hearts, and letting go some of the stuff that does keep us in that place of being entangled. And sometimes we just need to be brave enough to let go of whatever we're clinging on to at that very moment so we can reach out to Jesus, don't we? Because if our hands are holding something else, it's going to be difficult to do this. And ultimately, he's the only one that can save us from whatever we're holding on to. I want to tell you a story that happened in August. It's a true story, and I'll try and be brief about it. It was a traumatic story. We were in Canada, and we decided to go as a family down a river in tubes, those big tubes, like rubber ring type tubes. So it was going to be a 2.5 hour float down a river. My brother-in-law dropped us off, the six of us plus my niece, dropped us off, and we were going to float down this river for 2.5 hours. So there we were in just our swimming stuff and the rings, and that's it. We had no shoes or anything, because we were just going to get off and get in the car the other end 2.5 hours later. We got on this river. Now, interestingly, there was no one else about. No one else was on that river. It was us, apart from a fishing boat that gave us a sort of strange look when we went by. But we're going down this river, and we're going over some waves, and it's fun, and we're all linked up on these rings. And then it starts getting a little bit more choppy on this river, and there's a little bit of current, and Ben got a bit anxious next to me on the ring, and he was like, and everyone else was kind of enjoying it, and there we go. Anyway, we got to a point, to cut a long story short, where there was a tree that had fallen into the river, across the river. As we got near this tree, the kids started shouting out, "Fluffy tree! Fluffy tree!" And as we got nearer to this tree, and we were picking up speed by this time, and bearing in mind there's seven of us all linked up, we kind of realised that wasn't a fluffy tree. It was actually a big tree that was going to be a big obstacle to us, and that we're not going to be able to get around it. There is no room for seven people to get around this tree that had fallen into the river. So as we got closer and closer, my thinking was, we'll go under it. We'll duck. Then we're getting up more and more speed. Me and Mark weren't communicating very well by then, because I think our minds were thinking, how the hell are we going to deal with this? As we got closer, I was like, we cannot fit under that tree. That tree is like in the water. We cannot go under it. And so then there's like, right, we get out of the rings and we pull ourselves out. So both me and Mark got out of the rings, and we're trying to, well, my feet wouldn't even, the current was so strong, I couldn't even like move my feet. So I had to get back in the thing, and then I'm entangled in the tree. Mark had a little bit more strength, was pulling his rope around, but he was pulling it across my chest. So if you can picture this, there's Mark here, there's all the kids here, and we're entangled in this huge tree that was not fluffy. There was nothing fluffy about this tree. It was horrendous. So Mark is pulling this thing. I'm being strangled by this rope. Ben is absolutely hysterical next to me. So I say, Mark, save Ben. I don't know where the rest of the kids were. So Mark, I don't know how he finds this supernatural strength to get around me, to grab Ben so that he doesn't go through the tree and down the river. And Mark somehow had Ben. Meanwhile, I'm hanging by a branch with my legs out like this, just holding onto a branch, literally like this. It was horrific. Mikey, meanwhile, had gone, I didn't know this, had gone under the water, been taken by the current, and was climbed to the bank to the other side, and was shouting to me, don't let go, because she knows I'm not a good swimmer. She's a really good swimmer, but she nearly drowned, and Mikey's not dramatic like me. So she, you know, this was a true story. The other kids, I didn't know where they were, couldn't hear them. The sound of the river was horrendous. You know, it was just horrific. When I was holding onto that branch, Mark said to me, you are going to have to get into the ring, and you're going to have to let go and take Ben down the river on this tube so that I can help everybody else. Now, I'm like on the verge of a panic attack. I don't deal well with trauma. I'm like, I cannot let go. And I'm saying to him, I cannot let go. In the end, I had to trust him. He helped me somehow. I don't know this man. I don't know where he gets his strength from. He helps me get into this ring. He puts Ben on my lap. Meanwhile, he's holding on for dear life to the tree so that he doesn't go down the river. He's covered in, the mess that he was in, scratches down his back from against this tree. He puts me in the thing, and he says, you're going to have to let go. And I'm just like, I can't let go. I cannot let go. And I remember looking into his eyes, and it was just like I had to trust him. I had to trust that he knew what he was talking about. And so I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know. I had this assumption that me and Ben would go under the current and be gone forever. But I had to, in that moment, trust that he knew better than me, that he was in a better way to deal with this. And so I let go. Now, you might wonder, why am I telling you this story? Well, because we may not be able to control what happens to us. We have no control in that situation, but we can choose how we respond. I could have chosen to grip to that branch, or I could have chosen to trust Mark knew what was best in that moment and let go. Mary Stege says, it's true that we can't change the past, but we can change the way it affects us. We can't change the facts of our life, but we can reorganize our relationship with those facts, make new meanings, and discover new narratives. Within the mind itself, we can recreate new neural pathways of connection and new ways of being in relationship, even with ourselves. That blows me away, that even the plasticity of our brain can be changed. There is hope. There is always, always hope. And some of you in this room are walking proof of this. You've been through horrific experiences, horrific, far, far worse than hanging from a branch in a river. But here you are, still standing, still here this morning. We can choose to trust Jesus. We can choose to let go. We can choose freedom. I don't know how many of you have seen the series Arrow. Is anyone familiar with the series Arrow? See, I've got a teenage boy, so I watch Arrow sometimes with him. But there's a point in one of those episodes where he says, it's time to start changing. The way out is through your own darkness. Let it go. And I just went, when I heard that moment, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to blow my nose. You have to excuse me. I'm just a mess this morning. When I've got to blow my nose. It's okay. Tears are okay, aren't they? I keep telling myself this. It's all right. It's all right. God created tear ducts. So, it's all right. Let it go. We need to let it go. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be pain-free, does it? It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I reckon it's a bit like labour, where it's worth the pain, right? You go through that and then you have a beautiful baby at the end of it. It's worth it. In that river, there was no turning back. We could not go back. No way. That current was too strong. We couldn't avoid it. We couldn't go around the tree. There was no space to go around the tree. We had to go through it. We had to go through the pain. And it's a bit like when I spoke before about eagles, how they saw through the turbulence. They saw through it. They don't avoid it. They saw above it. And we had to do that. And it was scary and it was painful. And Mark did look literally like he'd been crucified. His back was just like covered in these scratches. His toes were blackened purple. We think they're probably fractured. He was really struggling to walk on them afterwards for a few days. But we had to go through it. Henry Nguyen says, when we learn to move through suffering rather than avoid it, then we greet it differently. We become willing to let it teach us. There are things that we have no control over. Illness, death, disaster. How other people use their free will against us in evil ways. See, this isn't about this Hebrews passage where he's talking about. This isn't just about the sin we've committed. This is talking about the sin that others have committed against us. And that keeps us tangled in this web of deceit and confusion and bondage. When I was trapped in that tree, I panicked. I didn't know how to save my little man who was hysterical next to me, let alone the rest of my children and my niece. And I could feel my body just taking over, going into a panic attack. I did not want to let go of that branch because it seemed to me the only thing that represented any kind of security and hope. But it didn't. I had to choose to let go in order to move on. And I'm wondering this morning what that branch represents for each one of you here today. What are you holding on to that's stopping you from moving forward? Can you be brave enough to consider letting go of whatever that is? How much do you want freedom? Is it an unhealthy relationship that you want to let go of? Is it a broken promise? Is it a coping mechanism? Is it an addiction? A false belief, a negative belief about yourself? Self-hate, hatred towards someone else? Do you need to let go of a false reality that you think keeps you stable and risk facing the truth, which ultimately will set you free? We all know bad stuff happens. I'm pretty sure there's not one person in this room who hasn't had a bad experience and hasn't been hurt in some way. But facing, walking through that pain, rather than trying to avoid it by clinging to a dead branch like I did, that brings long-term freedom. It can't be gained any other way. You can't avoid it. And you know, God sees to it that justice is done. Meanwhile, while that's unfolding, maybe we can move towards a point where we can choose to forgive, where we can choose to, in order to free ourselves from the bondage to that person who hurt us. Beth Moore, one of my favourites, uses the analogy of a snake. I think it's because she's Texan. She's forever killing snakes. But she says that if you've been bitten by a snake, there's no point in chasing and beating the snake. What you need to do is focus on getting the poison out of your system, because that's what will kill you. So letting go, this is the power that removes the venom. I wonder if you're holding a false image of someone because you can't accept the truth. Maybe you've been hurt by someone you love so deeply, and that's hard to make sense of. A wise person I know uses the analogy of dirty water and says that it's the dirty water that hurts us, that causes damage. And it's that dirty water that comes from the evil one. It doesn't mean the vessel's bad. It doesn't mean that person is all bad. It means that they're containing dirty water. And it's the same with us when we hurt others. It's the dirty water, not us, not the essence of ourselves that's bad. So do you need to let go of resentment? Do you need to let go of rage so you can move forward and look at the painful emotions that are probably beneath that rage? Because rage hides something. Do you need to look at the disappointment, at the grief, at the shame? Who or what do you believe is keeping you safe? Because, you know, only God can ultimately provide that security that we need to live an abundant life. And I guess the choice is, do we want to survive or do we want to soar? If we want to soar, then we may need to let go in order to move on, in order to move into God's abundant plan for our lives. And, you know, you can see I'm preaching to myself here this morning because I'm on this journey. I want to soar, but I'm still like a turkey flapping my wings trying to get off the ground. I'm longing to do that, but I'll keep journeying. And you know, that branch may have offered me temporary sense of safety and feeling of well-being. I felt kind of okay while I was clinging to it because I had something. Just as getting high or getting drunk or having an eating disorder or being a workaholic or some other survival strategy that keeps you going offers you temporary relief. But it doesn't last, does it? I know, because I've tried so many in my life. I've tried so many ways of keeping myself okay. Just some way of being okay. It's superficial. And you know, deep down, what happens is that we just hide those deep, painful feelings of terror, of shame, of pain. It's not easy. It's scary. It's scary to face that stuff that's beneath it. But it's worth it because he'll be with us the whole way. He promises to never abandon us. He will not let us go in those raging waters. He'll be with us. Oswald Chambers said, tenacity is more than hanging on, which may be but the weakness of being too afraid to fall off. Tenacity is the supreme effort of a man refusing to believe that his hero is going to be conquered. When me and Mark renewed our wedding vows, I had engraved on his wedding ring, many dark waters cannot quench love. From scripture, we've been through so many dark waters, deep dark waters, and they nearly consumed us. They nearly destroyed our marriage, but God rescued us. He gave us hope, but we had to let go of some stuff in order to cling to him. God redeems. There was a moment when Mark went to put Ben in the tube in the river, where he nearly slipped through the tube. My gosh, in that moment, I did not know, I was beside myself. There was another moment, I didn't tell you the whole story, there's another moment when me and Ben had gone down the river and we were waiting for everyone else to come down, and this empty tube floated down the river. And Lorna, my niece, had told me that the next person, because she already told me Mark had saved her life, and then the next she said, he's just putting Sam into a tube. And so I see this empty tube coming down the river. Then I did go into a serious panic, because I see this empty tube, and I think, my little boy's so skinny, he's fallen through the tube. He's fallen through. I fell to pieces, because my core belief was that it was my fault. It was my fault. I didn't save him. I wasn't there. Just as I believed it was my fault that my little brother died. I was just a kid. I was a small child. I couldn't save him. But my belief about myself, my false belief was, you should have done something. And same in the river. God empowered me. God redeemed in that moment, I feel. God redeemed because he gave me the strength I needed to make the choice to let go, to do what Mark was helping me to do, encouraging me to do. I couldn't do it on my own. But actually, I was enabled to save my boy. I couldn't save my brother, but I could save my little man that was on my lap. We were all right. We're here. We're alive. Redemption. God's redemption is incredible. I really want to read you a parable that I came across that's written in this book because I think it's just... it's just so helpful. So I'd like to just read to you. It's a parable, and it's called The Prisoner in the Dark Cave. There once was a man who was sentenced to die. He was blindfolded and put into a pitch-black cave. The cave was 100 yards by 100 yards. He was told there was a way out of the cave, and if he could find it, he was a free man. After a rock was secured at the entrance to the cave, the prisoner was allowed to take his blindfold off and roam freely in the darkness. He was to be fed only bread and water for the first 30 days and nothing thereafter. The bread and water were lowered from a small hole in the roof at the south end of the cave. The ceiling was about 18 feet high. The opening was 1 foot in diameter. The prisoner could see a faint light up above, but no light came from the cave. As the prisoner roamed and crawled about the cave, he bumped into rocks. Some were large. He thought that if he could build a mound of rocks that was high enough, he could reach the opening and enlarge it enough to crawl through and escape. Since he was 5 feet 9 inches and his reach was another 2 feet, the mound had to be at least 10 feet high. So the prisoner spent his waking hours picking up rocks and digging dirt. At the end of 2 weeks, he built a mound about 6 feet. He thought if he could duplicate that in the next 2 weeks, he could make it before his food ran out. But as he had already used most of the rocks in the cave, he had to dig harder and harder. He had to do the digging with his bare hands, and after a month had passed, the mound was 9 1/2 feet high, and he could almost reach the opening if he jumped. He was almost exhausted and extremely weak, and one day, just as he thought he could touch the opening, he fell. He was simply too weak to get up, and in 2 days he died. His captors came to get his body. They rolled away the huge rock that covered the entrance. As the light flooded into the cave, it illuminated an opening in the wall of the cave, about 3 feet in circumference. It was the opening to a tunnel that led to the other side of the mountain. This was the passage to freedom the prisoner had been told about. It was in the south wall, directly under the opening to the ceiling. All the prisoner would have had to do was to crawl about 200 feet and he would have found freedom. He had so completely focused on the light that it never occurred to him to look for freedom in the darkness. Liberation was there all the time, right next to the mound he was building, but it was in the darkness. Sometimes it's in the dark that we find freedom. We look for it in the light, but often it's in the darkness. The freedom for us in that river was in the darkness of those branches. We had to go through the darkness. It was the only way for freedom. So, can we dare to let go of what we think is keeping us safe and trust that God will take care of us? Often we have this thing, don't we, of holding on. We need to hold on, we need to hold on. Well, sometimes we need to let go. Can we let go of our fantasies about how good we say things are and start facing the truth, the reality of how life is? Can we let go of false security and reach for Jesus? This is the truth for the path to truth and freedom. Throwing off that stuff that entangles us. Kim McKillen says, when I loved myself enough, I began leaving whatever wasn't healthy. This meant people, jobs, my own beliefs and habits, anything that kept me small. My judgment called it disloyal. Now I see it as self-loving. Hating ourselves is so damaging. Hating others is damaging. It eats away at our insides. Accepting and working through the damage that's done by dirty water, by our own dirty water, by the dirty water of others, that leads to freedom. Can we let go of self-hate? I learned something recently which made a lot of sense to me. I don't know, you might be aware of this or you might not, and it might not make sense for you, but I just want to share it with you because I hadn't thought of it this way before. What if original sin, what if what happened back in the Garden of Eden, what if that disobedience came from distrust? What if the original sin was actually distrust? I read this in a book that was written by Sebastian Moore called Let This Mind Be In You. And he points out that the immediate effect, as we know, of eating the fruit is the discomfort of Adam and Eve. With themselves, with each other, they want to hide. But God's response to them is, where are you? Why are you hiding? He doesn't tell them off. He doesn't condemn them for being naughty. And so this type of obedience God wants is the obedience of faith. You know, I had a situation recently with one of my children, and I explained to him that the most painful part for me wasn't what he'd done. It wasn't the sin, if you want to call it that, of what he did. It was the choice he made not to trust me. That's what hurt me. He didn't trust me enough to be real with me. And I believe that's how it is with God. He's not like, you're really naughty. He's not like that. He just wants us to trust him enough so that we know that he knows best. I don't want my kids to obey me out of fear. I want them to see that those boundaries are there to keep them safe. And that even though they might not understand that, just trust me enough that I'm trying to protect you. And that's how God is with us, isn't it? He wants our faith more than our obedience. And God's sad that Adam and Eve don't trust him. And this led to a distrust of themselves and of each other. And this is what's at the root of poor self-concept, of poor self-worth. And this poor self-concept can be increased by the belief that we've disappointed God, by disobeying him. We feel like a disappointment. How many of us in this room, I'm sure it's not just me, often feel like a real disappointment? The quality of any relationship is determined by trust. And we know that shame began in the Garden of Eden. I've really had this thing for a long time now where I so desperately want to talk about shame. Because I know it's a huge, huge thing. And I have this conversation with God where I'm like, can I talk about shame now? And he's like, no. And I'm like, I understand now. I understand because I'm at this point in my life where I'm like, I haven't let go of it. I haven't let go of shame. Not fully. Because the truth is, I stand here and I say things and I talk about freedom and I talk about healing. But deep down inside, that insecure part of me, that vulnerable part of me, still wonders if I've disappointed God. I have to be honest about that. I'm like, have I disappointed you? And that means I'm still shame-based. That's the truth. I'm still shame-based. And when I'm further on the journey of dealing with that, then I really hope God will let me speak about it. Because I'm passionate about the horrendous impact shame has on so many people's lives. It's horrendous. Beth Moore did a search in scriptures on the word disappointment. And you know, it's only mentioned once in the whole Bible. I love how she does these things because she's really into researching words. And I'm fascinated by things like this. But disappointment is only mentioned once. And that's in Romans 5, verse 5. And what it says is, this hope will not disappoint us. So the only time disappointment is mentioned in the whole Bible is where he's reassuring us that he won't disappoint us. Nothing to do with us disappointing him. He's pleading with us to put our trust in him, saying that he won't disappoint us. That's amazing. So I guess the question is, are we willing to let go of our independence? Are we willing to make ourselves vulnerable, to be wholly dependent on God? Because when we're weak, he is strong, right? It's the truth. And sometimes that involves trusting each other. In that river, I had to trust Mark. That's not easy. A few years ago, do you know what? I don't know if I'd be standing here today because I wouldn't have trusted him enough to let go. That's just the truth. You say, let go, I'd hold on. I'd do the opposite. A bit stubborn as well. But I knew that my trust in him has got so deep that I knew that I could trust him. That's how it needs to be with God. And I agree with what Helen said last week about hope being the opposite to anxiety, hope that God will pull us through. And do you know what? Holding hope for somebody is the most precious gift you can offer. I know because I've been on the receiving end of it when someone said to me, I'm going to hold hope for you. And it stopped me from giving up. And I know because when I've offered that to someone else, like, I'm just going to hold hope for you, how that's received. It's a precious, precious gift. Do you trust God enough to let go? Adam and Eve didn't trust God enough, did they? And they ended up clothed in shame. Jesus came to break that curse. So are we going to, despite what Jesus did, make that same mistake that Adam and Eve made? Or are we going to trust that we're safe in his hands? No matter what happens to us as individuals, as families, as communities, the horrific stuff that's going on in the world, he is still in control. It might not seem like it, but he is. Do we dare to trust God enough to let go of our anxiety, of our fear, and rest in him? What's really struck me as I've been thinking about this way of looking at the concept of original sin is how we can so easily misinterpret what God's saying, misinterpret his heart, and maybe slip, you know, we might say that we're grace-based and all this, but we can slip into legalism with that stuff. And that's time-consuming, and that's inward-looking, because we end up doing that thing of, it's still about what we do. Well, if we just obey God, then it'll be all right. Then he won't be disappointed in us. I think we need more Brennan Mannings who are willing to just say, do you know what, here I am. Can we dare to be vulnerable in that way? I don't think it's an easy call. I really don't. Beth Moore says, it's faith that helps us live in victory. Behaviour just leads to living by the law. It's transformation, not modification, that leads to freedom. So again, another letting go. While we're talking about letting go, is letting go of the assumptions that we make about God, about what he says in the Bible. This may challenge beliefs that we may have had for years about stuff, about how we see God. So we're coming now to the end of 2016, and I don't know what's gone on for each one of you in this room this year. What's gone on for you this year? But I just wonder if it's a good time, coming towards the end of a year, if it's a good time to let go of some stuff. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. It can be such a battle to let go of stuff, but so healing when we do. It's a choice that we're given, and taking that opportunity, as painful as it is so worth doing. He will shine the light when the time is right. He'll tell us when it's time to let go and what to let go of. He's there. He's there. He's there in everything we go through. He's there in the storm. He's there in the river. He's there through all of life. He's there in the darkness. He's there in the light. Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When I was in that river, I needed to look to the Lord, not to the branch. Like many of you, I'm sure, or maybe all of you in this room, I've had some battles this year, but God has held me. I couldn't always see him. I lost sight of him so many times. But I knew deep down inside of me, he was there. He didn't leave me. Didn't mean he wasn't there just because I couldn't find him. I know there's a spelling mistake in this. One of the most courageous decisions you'll make is to finally let go of what is hurting your heart and your soul. Do you know, I was thinking that maybe some of you might think this isn't a very festive message. Maybe it's a bit, you know, it's not very festive for Christmas. But when I was thinking about it, I thought, do you know, it is actually, because Jesus came as a baby, the most vulnerable way he could come into this world to bring light into the darkness. So that we can let go. He came so that we can let go of all this stuff. So that we can let go of this worldly way of finding our security, finding our self-worth, finding our significance in ways that are just like dead branches. He came as that vulnerable baby so that we can let go and cling to him. That's precious. That's good news. That's the Christmas message. I want to play a song that I only came across it last week. Some of you may have heard it. It's by Casting Crowns. But this is where I just can't make sense of God's timing. You know, this song was played And I heard it for the first time, and it was just, for me, it was just like another encouragement of the message that he put on my heart, I felt. And I just hope as you listen to the words of this, that you'll let God speak to each one of you. Let him speak into your hearts, because he wants to hold each one of you just simply because he loves you. That's just the truth. He just loves you. He always, always holds hope for us. And as we learn to trust, as we get stronger in him, then we can begin to hold hope for ourselves. Then we can walk into the plans he has for us. Then we can walk into freedom and let go. So have a listen to this song, and then I'll end with a prayer.
Hold it all together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be here. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be here. Just be here. Just be here. Are on a storm, you wonder if our love is still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted in time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be here. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be here. Just be here. Just be here. And where you are, I'll hold your heart, I'll hold your heart. Come to me, find your rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be here. World's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be here. Just be here. Just be here. Just be here. Just be here.
Jesus, I just want to thank you so much that not only do you hold hope for each one of us, But you hold each one of our hearts. You don't expect anything from us. We're not a disappointment to you. You long for us to run into your open arms, just crawl onto your lap and be held. It's amazing. I thank you that there's room for all of us on your lap. Amazing God, amazing love, amazing arms. A great big God when we sometimes feel so very, very small and insignificant and unworthy. You're amazing, God. Thank you that you take the pieces of our broken hearts and you put them together. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. And in those times when we feel so very shattered, you hold hope for us even when we can't hold it for ourselves. Lord, I want to pray for each person in this room. You know what each person is going through and what maybe they could do with letting go of. Speak to each heart, I pray. Prompt each person that maybe at the end of this year some stuff can be let go of. And God, I pray that each one of us will know that you created us for relationship. We don't need to battle this on our own, that we're here for each other, that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to need each other. You're the one that meets our deepest needs, Lord. But sometimes we just need someone with skin on. And that's why you provided relationship. Help us be a church of love, God. Help us be a community of hearts reaching out for each other and accepting each other right where we are. No expectations, no judgments, no preconceptions. Help us to see others and to see ourselves as you do. With incredible love, incredible grace. Thank you, Lord, for how you take our lives, how you equip us, how you build us up, and how you set us forth with your light into a dark world to bring hope. Thank you that we remember this. We remember this in this place. Thank you that we have the freedom to talk about this stuff where so many don't. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen.